Open 1 John chapter 4. We have been in the book of 1 John now for some time. And in this series, after this Sunday, there will only be two more sermons in this series. So we're kind of getting close to landing the plane. But John has been writing to explain the difference between real and bogus Christianity. And he says that you could tell the real from the fake by three different tests. What do they say about Jesus? Do they walk in the light? And how much do they love their brother? And he keeps writing about these three tests, but he doesn't do so in a linear fashion. He does so in a spiral and circular fashion. And he keeps coming back to these tests over and over again, but especially to the third test. And I think that's going to become clear for us as we read today. Let's start in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in the 7th verse. Reading in your own Bibles, following along, we see these words. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who has been born of God knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in Him and He in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like Him. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who doesn't love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. A man went to see a doctor because he wasn't feeling very well. And after a few tests, the doctor came back with an assortment of pills. And he said, I want you to take this green pill every morning when you wake up with a large glass of water. And then at lunchtime, I want you to take this red pill and make sure that you do so with a large glass of water. And then right before you go to bed every night, I want you to take this blue pill, and you need to do it with a large glass of water, and make sure you finish it all. The man said, Doc, what is it? What is wrong with me? And the doctor said, well, you're not drinking enough water. You see, sometimes it is not that complicated when it comes to what we need most. And John doesn't think it's that complicated. And so 15 verses we just read, we heard the word love 27 times. Three different times he said, love one another. It's not that complicated. John, why do you talk about this test more than all the others? Why do you keep coming back to this? I think John would say, because I'm passionate about God and God is love. So I want you to write something down that you might think is trite, but in fact, it is one of the most crucial statements about our faith. His love shows. I'm telling you today that this is the foundation of real Christianity. Before there were angels, before there were humans, God is love. Love is not one of His attributes along with His mercy or His judgment or His wisdom or His faithfulness. His essence, His very nature is love. And all of the other attributes flow out of this. And so His wisdom is loving wisdom. His faithfulness is loving faithfulness. Everything God is and does comes out of His love. Even His wrath. When God judges, and when God punishes, and when God disciplines, every parent understands He does this because of His love. All of God's activity is loving activity. Well, why does this matter? Because no other religion on this planet talks about God like this. Every other religion in the world says that our relationship with God starts with you. And if you do this and if you do that well enough, then God will love you. Christianity is the only religion that says that it starts with the love of God. Your love for God is a response to His love. He made the first move. We love because He first loved us. And not with a love that was philosophical or esoteric that you can't wrap your mind around. No, His love was concrete and visibly demonstrated in history in a specific deed. John says in verse 10, this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Paul said the exact same things. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because of God's nature, because of who He is, His love would not allow Him to do nothing when we were plagued with sin and death. And it is that same love that would not allow Him to do nothing that allows us to become something. And John says that this love that God initiated has to be imitated. John says God loves you. And so you expect Him to say, as a follow-up to that, so you ought to love God. But that's not how he puts it. He said God loves you, so you ought to love one another. Now, John is not implying that love is a virtue that is just in you. He isn't even implying that love is a learned behavior. Even your ability to love is a response to the gift of God's love. Look at what John said in verse 7 in chapter 4 of 1 John. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Pay attention to that phrase. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Do you hear what he's saying? He's not saying, if you love enough, then you will be born again. He's saying that the only reason you can even love at all is because you have been born again. Love comes from God. And if there is any love in your heart, you did not have that there by yourself. It came from God. How did it get there? Well, you've been born again. And your ability to love is a product of your new birth. It didn't produce your new birth. Your growth in love is proof. It is evidence that you have become a partaker in the divine nature. That's what John meant when he says in verse 13, He has given us of His Spirit. Why? So that your nature can start to look like God's nature. Look what Paul said in Romans 5. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Why has God come to dwell in us through the Spirit? Simple. To teach you how to speak His language. Because the only language God can speak is the language of love. And so He has sent the Spirit into your life to teach you how to speak God talk. And John calls this love, quote, being made complete. It is the basic ethic of the New Testament. The New Testament never ever teaches do and do and do and you will finally become. The New Testament says that God has made you something now, so let it out. Be who you are. So the Bible says that God has poured His Spirit into my life to teach me how to speak His language. And so what is going to happen when you start to become more fluent in love language? Well, there are three things. First, write this down. As love grows, so does our confession of Christ. John sees no tension at all between the love of God and the truth about the person of Jesus. Look at 1 John 4, beginning in verse 14. It says, we have seen and can testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God has God living inside. And that person lives in God. And so we know the love that God has for us, and we trust that love. You see, some people are going to say, if you really love people, it doesn't matter what they believe. And John says, no. By rejecting Jesus, you are electing to ignore the love of God. It was in Jesus that God showed you how much He loved you. And so nobody filled with the Spirit of God, nobody learning to speak the language of God could deny Jesus. His love in me will not allow me to stay silent about the one who silenced my accuser when He died for me on the cross. And so, as I am filled with the Spirit and the love of God, you are going to hear me talk more and more and more about Jesus. I'm going to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm going to testify that He is the Savior of the world. And by the way, it's not just that He saved me from my sins, He saved me from myself. He saved you and me from a life of self-absorption. You see, real life is about self-sacrifice. In 1997, there was a publishing phenomenon. A reporter named Mitch Albom wrote this book called Tuesdays with Maury. Maury Schwartz was his college professor, and he was dying from Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. So for 14 weeks on Tuesdays, he would go and spend several hours talking with Maury and gaining wisdom from this man that he knew was dying. And his reflections from that became this popular book. Now, on the eighth week of his visits, for some reason, they got to talking about a newspaper article where Ted Turner, the billionaire, was disappointed by his failed attempt to buy CBS. And Turner said in the article, I don't want my tombstone to read that I never owned a network. And so, as Mitch and Maury talked, this dying man begins to reflect on what life is about. Is life about how much you acquire so that when you're dead, people can talk about all the stuff that you own? Or is it about how much you gave your life away? I want you to listen to what Maury said. I'm dying, right? Why do you think it's important for me to hear other people's problems? I mean, don't I have enough pain and suffering of my own? Of course I do. But giving to other people is what makes me feel alive. Not my car, not my house, not what I look like in the mirror. When I give my time, when I can make someone smile after they are feeling sad, that is as close to healthy as I could ever feel. Now, who does that sound like? Who is the one that said, if you want to learn to really be alive, then learn to die? If you spend your life trying to save it, you're going to lose it. Who's the one who said that I've come to give you abundant life? Jesus didn't come just to save you from your sins. He came to save you from yourself. He came to save you from a life that is all about you and how much you can acquire and how much you can make self the center of existence. He came to save you from that. He came to teach you that life of love is the only life worth living. And so to grow in love is to grow in confidence in the way of Jesus. But that's not the only way that you will grow. You see, as love grows, so does our confidence in God's judgment. The love of God doesn't just do something for us. It does something in us. John says when love is perfected, fear is rejected. Look at verse 18 again. He said, where God's love is, there is no fear. Because God's perfect love drives out fear. It's punishment that makes a person fear. So love is not made perfect in the person who fears. In other words, if your life is full of God's love hasn't matured in you yet, and you're not speaking His language. And friend, there are a lot of fearful people right now. Fear is just the fruit. The real root is that you don't trust God's love yet. The only thing that can tranquilize a troubled heart is confidence in the love of God. That is why Jesus went to the cross. Because God knows all of our lives we have been experiencing conditional love. But God comes along and says, that's not how I love. There's nothing you can do that will make me love you more, and there is nothing that you can do that would make me love you less. So Jesus went to a cross to say to us that God's love is tenacious. It is not tenuous. You don't have it one day and then lose it the next. Here's what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. I read this at the beginning of our worship service. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brennan Manning, a popular author, said once that there was this Irish priest walking in the countryside, and he saw a peasant on the side of the road deep in prayer. And the priest is impressed. And when the man finishes his prayer, he says to him, "You must be very close to God." And the peasant smiled and says, "Yes, He is very fond of me." And a person that can say that is mature in the love of God. When you can believe that God is especially fond of you, anxiety is defeated as His love. And you're going to hear Him speak to your heart by the Holy Spirit, reminding you that His love is tenacious. You are going to learn His language. And one more thing. As love grows, so does our concern for others. The same love that's going to cast out fear is going to cast out hate and indifference. Because you understand you cannot adore God and ignore the image of God in other people. Or to put it bluntly, you don't love me if you hate my kids. I don't care how flowery your praise is or how elusive or effusive your words are. If you hate my kids, you don't love their father no matter what you say. You see, Paul says in Romans 13, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Remember something. The Bible doesn't say that love is God. God is love. In other words, God is the definition of what love really is. Poets don't tell us about love. They're all messed up. So are the songwriters. So are the philosophers. So are the politicians. They don't know what love is. If you want to know what love is, look at God. And the Bible says when it comes to love, God doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk. He demonstrates love because love is a verb, action. Maybe you heard the story of the couple that went off on their honeymoon, and when they got back, the mama called the bride and she said, well, how did it go? And she said, Mama, the honeymoon was so romantic, but ever since we've got home, he's just become a different man. And he's using these terrible four-letter words every single day, and I can't stand it. I need you to come and take me home, Mama. And the mama says, that doesn't sound like him. What kind of words is he using? She said, Mama, I don't even want to repeat them. They're so terrible. Just come and take me home. What kind of four-letter words is he using? Oh, Mama, words like wash and cook and dust and iron. You see, I don't think that she understands that love is not complete until it gets concrete. John said, you see someone who's hungry and has a need and you don't help him, don't go to church and sing about how much you love people. Make it show up. Love is only received by God when you share it. And it can be shared because the supernatural supply of the Spirit is limitless. Let me just say this. I hear people say, well, I just can't love that person. That is biblically unacceptable. If the Spirit prompts you to love somebody and you don't, it is because you are disobedient. If you cannot love some particular individual, there's only one explanation according to John. You are not a Christian. If you cannot love them, then you have not been born of God. If you have been born of God and you do not love, then you are choosing to be disobedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. A person that cannot speak God's language has not been born again. A person who has been born again is always wanting to become more fluent in the language of love. Brandon Heath wrote a song back in 2008. And I know that you've heard it because it was played on Christian radio about 450 million times. But here's the prayer of someone that wants to become fluent in God's language. Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so that I can see. I want you to understand something. What John is saying is that God's love must flow through us, that He must love others through us. We're not just the objects of His love. We are the agents of His love. God's love reaches its goal when it becomes visible. Look again at verse 12 in 1 John 4. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. So how does the world know if God is real? How can they know if God exists? Look at what that says. We are the answer to the world's question, where is God? God can only be seen when He takes on flesh and blood. So God is releasing on the world a new humanity empowered by His Spirit to love the world back to its original intent. Young college student was complaining bitterly to God as he saw all the suffering in the world. And he said, God, even I can make a better world than this. And God gently spoke to him and said, that's exactly what I want you to do. We are the loudspeakers through which the world hears the language of God. He must love others through us. And John would say, we love God through others. John is not afraid to be blunt. He says, if you say that you love God and you're not loving people, then you, my friend, are a liar. Loving people is the preeminent way that you love God. When they asked Jesus, what's one thing that God really wants? Jesus said, the only way I can answer that question is to give you two answers. Love God, love people. Look at verse 21 in 1 John 4. And He has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. You and I cannot give God anything He needs. But we can give Him what He wants when we give one of His other kids what they need. My question for you and I this morning is this. How fluent are we in the language of love? Would you stand up? I want to pray over you. Father God, I know that I'm a prideful man. I know, God, that I do not love others as I ought. I love myself really, really well. So through Your Spirit this morning, convict me, O God, to begin to love others as You would have me love them. Help me, Father, empowered by Your Spirit, to truly love unconditionally, Father, those that You have put into my path. Help me to show Your love concretely to someone near me. And do that, Father, very, very soon. This I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.